Well, welcome to Healing School here at High Point Church. We are excited to be together with you today, both here and online. And I just want to tell you, I believe I've really heard from the Lord today on what to hear, what to teach, and what you will be hearing. I got this over the holidays, but as you're going to see, it stretches back a long time, and I'm going to share some personal things about this journey that I've been on and how what we're going to talk about today applies to it. So let me go ahead and start, and let's turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We'll pray in just a moment. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we're going to talk a little bit about kingdom of God. And let me just say that for those of you who are watching particularly, Pastor Trey has started a series on this. And if you're not listening to it online or can't attend, please do listen online. And for you High Pointers, you need to be in these seats because this is life-changing. But I'm going to share what the Lord gave me several weeks ago before he started that series. So in chapter 13, this is Matthew's account. He starts off talking about the parable of the sower. And I want to call your attention just to one verse as we start particularly. It says, he who has ears, and this is verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. And that's going to be important. And it was interesting, as we prayed this morning, someone brought that up in prayer this morning. Again, not knowing, but that's just how the Holy Spirit leads us. So I want to really encourage you today concerning he who has ears, let him hear. Now let's jump down to verse 11 and we'll get into this. So the disciples had come to him and said, why do you talk in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them in verse 11, it has been to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So let me just look out at you and say, to you, it has been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, of God's kingdom, kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But to them, talking about the Jews who's had their eyes blinded, it has not been granted. And then verse 12 says, for whoever has. Now, I've heard a lot of different things about what this means, that if you've gotten a lot of revelation, then you're going to get more. I do believe that's what it's talking about. But specifically, I believe that first phrase goes back to verse 9. For whoever has ears to hear. Because in order for you to get revelation to begin with, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to hear it and have it implanted in your soul. So for whoever has ears, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. And that's what I've been praying and declaring concerning this service today, that we will have ears to hear, and more will be given to us, such that we have an abundance, and not be like the second part, where it says, if for whoever does not have, and I'm saying, would say ears to hear, even what he has shall be taken away. Then we go to verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, and nor do they understand. And it's talking about the Hebrew people. And verse 14 explains that. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, so I'm going to read through these things, but this is not talking about you and I today, because to us it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It says, you'll keep on hearing, but will not understand. So what's he beginning to talk about? You can hear with this, but you're not hearing here. Then he says, it talks about you'll see. But you'll see here, but you're not seeing with the eyes of your spirit, and thus you will not perceive. In verse 15, it says, for the heart of the people has become dull. Now, let's talk about us. We can allow our heart to become dull. Wax gross, I think one translation says. So we need to guard our heart, as Proverbs tells us, because out of it flows these issues of life, and they flow out of our heart because of the word going in. Now, this continues on, and it says, for the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return. And I want you to look at this last phrase on this verse, if we can go to that next screen, on 15. And I want you to see, look at that last phrase, and I would heal them. So all this has led up to us understanding the mysteries of the kingdom so that what? His healing will come upon us. Spirit, our soulish realm, and this physical body. So I want to begin to tie together with this first scripture the fact that the mysteries of the kingdom include healing for us in, but not limited to, what? Our physical bodies. So plant that seed in you. Let it get down deep. Now just let me go on and just tell you that 19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, and I believe that's talking about what? Hearing it here, but not hearing it with these ears, then what happens to us? It can get snatched away. And that's beginning to talk about the three grounds where the word is sown that we don't want to be. Now I want you to go over to Matthew 9, and we'll want to talk one more, a couple other scriptures about the kingdom. In Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus was going about through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. Now, I have said to you in healing school before, those of you who have been here with us, one of the things that I have done in my Bible is I've gone through and I've identified everywhere it talks about the gospel being preached or the word being preached, and look what happens right after that. And this is one of those verses that is marked in my Bible with a big orange marker. But they've been proclaiming what? The gospel, the good news of the kingdom. So again, this kingdom word, explaining the mysteries in the kingdom. And then I want you to look what goes right along with it. And Jesus was preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So here again, going along with the good news of the kingdom is what? Healing. Now, I want to read these next three verses too, because this is our duty today. This is what Jesus did then, but this is what we are to do today. And you see this in what Jesus is saying. Seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them, for they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, the reason I bring that forth today is in the first session of this year, Pastor Trey talked about why we have healing school. And it's so that we can proclaim the word and you receive healing here. But equally important is what? That we be trained to go out to the world and to take that and deliver it. And so we see here a key principle. Go out and just proclaim the good news about Jesus and be willing to lay your hands. And what should we expect as part of the kingdom process? Healing to flow. And so that's no different for us today. We're called to declare that healing be restored to people. And I use the word restored for the first time today, because what I want to talk to you about today is restoration, a just cause. Now I want to pray before we go any further. In the second chapter of Corinthians, the sixth verse, the second book of Corinthians, the sixth chapter, the 11th verse, Paul is beginning to teach, and he says to the Corinthians, we are opening our heart as wide as we can. In other words, we're pouring out to you all that we know. And in verse 13, he then says, open your hearts wide to us. And I want you, as we pray today, to open your hearts up to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, because I believe it is a message for this year. So, Father, today, as we pursue your word today, as we seek your word, you say when we pursue you, we will find you. So we confess that over the word. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you, and we allow you to teach us as the teacher of the church. I ask that the people here and the people viewing hear your words, Holy Spirit, not just mine, and that you plant it deep inside them so that we can begin to move out and see the harvest for everything that Jesus purchased for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you about a personal quest that I've been on for now just over 10 years. Back in November of 2010, I was asleep early in the morning, and it was an unusual time because my wife had gotten up and gone out. Normally, it's the reverse. And I'm laying there, and I'm beginning to wake up, and I hear this voice say, "A just cause." Now, I know BJ's gone because I woke up when she left, and I'd been back sleeping a while. But I heard an audible voice say, "A just cause." And I actually sat up in bed and looked around, checked the bathroom there off of our bedroom to make sure, where's BJ? Because I thought that was something she had said, but it's not like what she would say. No, nobody there. So I laid back down and just continued to rest. It was a cold November morning. I remember it well. And as I stayed in bed and there with my eyes closed, a few minutes later, I hear it again. A just cause. So this time I get up. I even go over to where my office is, just off of our bedroom, and look to see has she come in there and maybe laid down in on the bed there, on the futon there. And again, nothing. So I'm laying there just considering it, and I hear her a third time. Well, this time I get smart enough to go get up and get my Bible and start looking. And I didn't really go to my Bible. I went to my computer and got on the program searching for that phrase, "a just cause." I went through my New American Standard search, didn't find it. I went through King James. I went through a couple of other translations. Finally, I was led to go to the Amplified. And I want to read you what I found in the Amplified Bible in the Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering, dimly burning wick he will not quench." Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about the compassion, the tenderness, the love, the covenant love that Jesus has for us and how he ministers to us. So let me read it again and I'll continue on. "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering, dimly burning wick he will not quench. Until he brings what? Justice and then you see that phrase, a just cause to victory." So from that November 2010, I have been on a constant quest to fully understand what, not just what this means, but what my role in this has been. And it's something that I have pursued so very often. And I believe that today I have much more revelation, and it pertains greatly to how we find ourselves here in 2021. Now, I want to go back to the New American Standard and want to read the context with which this is given. It says, "He brings justice," and then the Amplified does its thing in amplifying and says, "a just cause," those two are the same, "to victory." So let's go, if we can, back to the New American Standard, verse 18. And what it says, and this is quoting from the Old Testament, "Behold my servant, in whom I've chosen," talking about Jesus, "my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit" where? "Upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles." So there's that word justice again, and then Gentiles. That ought to be important to you and I, because that's talking about us. Yet Jesus came, we know what? First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And then it continues on in verse 19. "He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voices in the street." I believe that means he's not going to be out there promoting himself. He's just going to be delivering the message that the Lord says. And then we come to verse 20 that we just read in the Amplified. "A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice," a just cause, "to victory." Until he accomplishes. And then we'll look at verse 21 as well, because this is key to us. "And in his name will the Gentiles," you and I, the unsaved today, hope. So victory, what Jesus won, not just for himself, but for you and I. And in doing that, what was he doing? He was satisfying the justice of heaven, God's justice, for all the sin that mandated that something be done before justice could be declared. A just cause. So what are we seeing in this, though? I believe we're beginning to see, by the first couple of verses we saw, that a just cause, something you and I should expect because of his victory, is also tied to healing. Again, spirit, soul, and body. But in these sessions, we talk as much on the physical part and the soulish part. Now, I think it's interesting. So let's back up to verse 10 in this same chapter. Let's see these verses in context with what this chapter is talking about. Verse 10, and we're not going to teach in detail on each of these examples. And a man was there whose hand was withered. So Jesus is there in with a bunch of the Pharisees, teaching with them and talking to them on a Sabbath. And they questioned him, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they were doing this for a pitiful reason, so that they might accuse him, trying to find any fault. Does that sound a little bit like the environment we're in today? It reminds me of where we are as a nation today. And Jesus said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? So here's this man with the withered hand. His hand is drawn up, so he has no use of it. And Jesus is comparing that man to a sheep which falls in a pit, and says he ought to be lifted out. Now look at verse 12. How much more valuable then are you? Now I'm just looking around to tell you, each one of you here are more valuable than any sheep could ever be. And then he asks the question, is it lawful then to do good on the Sabbath? And I want you to look at what happened. He then said to the man who couldn't stretch out his hand, not his arm, but his hand. And he told him to stretch out your hand. Now, I believe that man had ears to hear. It went down deep in him, because what did he do? He started to do something that he knew had been a physical impossibility. And it just simply says he stretched out his hand. So he acted on what was planted deep inside him, where he had heard with his spiritual ears, and the power to straighten that hand out came to him. And this is the phrase that I want us to focus on here. And it was restored to normal. Restoration is a just cause. It was restored to normal like the other one. Both hands were the same. And I'm just led at the moment, I don't know that it's anybody here in the building, but online, I just perceive there are those of you who are fighting arthritis in your hands. And I just want to say to you, this restoration is yours just as much as it was this man's. He is no respecter of person. And you can start declaring today that Jesus has told me to stretch my hand and it shall be restored to normal, just like the other hand in this man's case. Now, so what do we see just before this verse then about a just cause, justice, and what it includes tied to the victory of Jesus? We see another example of healing. Look at verse 15. Pharisees get upset with Jesus. 15 says then, but he, aware of them being upset, withdrew from there. Many followed them. And look at this next one. And he healed them all. Might I say, he restored them back to their design condition? And you're going to hear that over and over today, because that's how faith comes in us, to hear and hear. And I believe this is an anointed word, not just because of me, but because the Lord gave it to us and the Holy Spirit is ministering it to you, and he is the anointing. Now let's look after these verses, and we'll go down to verse 22. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. Glory to God. He received his sight and he received his speech, even though this may have been stolen from him from his birth. Now it says a spirit, so to me that kind of leads me to believe it happened afterwards. But here again, his voice and his sight restored to him. So we see healing surrounding all of these verses about what justice, what the act of Jesus to purchase our freedom on that cross obtained for you and I. So I am convinced that healing and justice go hand in hand. And it is a victory that Jesus has already won. That says to me, so I'm not fighting to get the victory. I am just standing to receive the victory that he's already won for you and I. So, I take that, and with the verses I'm about to go through and share with you, what the Lord has shown to me is how we have a right today to declare restore or restoration. That is our given right. And so what I've been saying here for several weeks now is this. 2021 is my year of restoration for all the devil has stolen from me. 2021 is my year for restoration for all. And I'm not just talking about what he stole in 2020. And each of us have had some things stolen. At a bare minimum, each of us have had to not gather at some point during this year together and fellowship where that corporate anointing rests. That's been stolen from me. And I'm very much upset with the devil, and I'll continue him to remind you, he can't do that. Why don't you say this with me? So just declare after I speak this. 2021 is my year of restoration for all the devil has stolen from me. Let's do it once again. 2021 is my year of restoration for all the devil has stolen from me. Hallelujah. And I believe, for me personally, this is part of what I am to declare throughout this year. This is a year of restoration. Now, I want us to see the heart of the Father as it pertains to restoration. I want you to go to Isaiah 42. And we're going to be reading this out of the New King James. And we're going to read a bunch of verses here. We're going to first go through verses 1 through 4. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. The Lord is prophesying through Isaiah here that Jesus is going to bring what to you? Justice, a just cause. And it continues, he will not cry out, he will not raise his voice, nor shall his voice be heard in the street. Now you should be able to begin to recognize some of these verses with what we read in Matthew 12. And then it goes on and says, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice, and then it says, for truth. So truth and victory. Those words are used after that phrase. Where is our victory? In the truth of his word. And that's what we must hear and get down in our being firmly. Now I want you to jump down to verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. Now this is continuing to talk about Jesus. But we saw some verses earlier where Jesus is praying for laborers to go in the harvest. And who are those laborers today? We are part of his body. So I want you to begin to see yourself, see Jesus first, but begin to see yourself in these same words here in verse 6. So let me start again. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Now, we all ought to be able to identify with that because we've been made the righteousness of Jesus, of the Lord in Christ Jesus. And I will hold your hand. There are scriptures that tell us that. I will keep you, and this is of Jesus, and give you as a covenant. So he's going to keep us, and because Jesus was given as a covenant, then I'm being kept where? In that same covenant. And then verse 7 concludes by saying, as a light to the Gentiles. So that's what Jesus was. But isn't that what Isaiah 60 says us? To let our light shine so that the world may see it. So you can begin to see how we are doing his works in this. Now verse 7. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, to those who sit in darkness from the prison house. And then he says, I am the Lord, that is my name. In my glory will I not give to another, nor my praise to carve or graven images. So he's saying here, I'm not going to give my glory to any other so-called God. But what has he done with you and I? He's glorified us. John 17 tells us that. But he's glorified us not so we can go around and say, look at me. He's glorified us so that what? We can go do the same work that Jesus did. And then it continues on in verse 9, talking about our day today. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So he's just reminding us what he's prophesied and who we are today. Now look at verse 13. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Did he do that? Absolutely. Now, there's one phrase that the New King James reads, that he shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. New American Standard for that verse said, he will proclaim a war cry. Well, when I read that, I wanted to know what that war cry was that he proclaimed. And then the Lord is so good that he shows us that. Go down to verse 18. In 18, I just want you to see this, and then we'll jump into 21. In 18 through 20, he's talking about, again, the Hebrew people, that there's nobody to listen to him. Their eyes are dull. Their ears can't hear because they've hardened their hearts. And then we get to 21, and he says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. And we're going to tie this into being oppressed in just a moment. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. For they are prey, and no one delivers. Now, does that sound like where we were before we were born again? Could that also sound like those who have been oppressed physically or with mental torment or just fear coming upon them constantly? So again, we need to be looking at this as it's talking about people today who have been born again, but who are still feeling that oppression from the evil one. And I read all that to get to the last line in that verse. For plunder. And this says, there's no one to say, restore. But I'm telling you, that's what Jesus did. His war cry is restore. Restore. And you say, restore what? Everything that the devil has taken from man since Adam's sin. He claimed restore, and we now have access to that. Whether we take it or not is up to us. But can you see Jesus standing in the heavens before he comes to the earth, knowing he's going to restore it? I can just see him saying, restore. I'm coming to restore. Now, we've looked at scriptures about, and the man's hand was what? Restored, just like the other. So that's what we're focusing on today, is this healing aspect of it. The word for restore in the Hebrew here is S-H-U-B or shub, which literally means to turn back or to put back like it was. And isn't that what he's done? He's brought us back so that we can have that same access to the Father, so that we can walk in that garden with all the provision we need, so that we have the peace of knowing God is with us. And so our bodies walk in total health. This is the restore. This is all-encompassing in the restore that he has decreed. Look at verse 23. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for that time to come? That time is here. That's why we started, I believe, when the Lord laid these scriptures out in this sequence for me, of he who hath ears, let him hear. So 740 some years before Jesus, Isaiah is declaring that the war cry that he came to decree over us is restore in every area of our lives. Let's look at another example of that he gave in the old covenant. Look at Leviticus in chapter 25. In Leviticus chapter 25. And we're going to be talking about Jubilee. And let me just say, it is a type of Jesus. And what did Jesus come declaring? Restore. Now, when I go to say restore, feel free to shout it out and declare it with me. Because you're going to see this is exactly what is being talked about here in Jubilee. Verse 8. And just a very few verses here. He's telling them what Jubilee is. He said, you're to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. So 49 years. And then he begins to talk about that 50th year. So that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. In verse 9, you shall then sound a what? A ram's horn. And that's what Jubilee means, is to sound, to make a sound, talking about that ram's horn. So when they blow that horn, what is he saying? He needs to do it on the 10th day of the 7th month, on that day of atonement. Except now, ours isn't what? Ours isn't a day of atonement. It's this period of grace that we live in where these sins have been wiped away as far as east to is to the west. This is where we live today. And how can that be? Because this is a type, I said, Jubilee is a type for us. But for us, our Jubilee is not a specific date. Your Jubilee, my Jubilee, is Jesus, the man, the one alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the one who dwells in me and I in him. And look at what was happening in that year. Now, you know that the 49th year was a Sabbath. So the land wasn't harvested in those days back then. It also wasn't harvested in Jubilee, which is the second year. And then they had to plant and wait for the harvest. So do you see that in this Jubilee time, he's providing for them for a 3-year period, supernaturally? So we should not be sitting here fearing what's going to happen if we have something happen for a number of weeks. I'm not saying don't prepare for it. I'm saying no fear for it. Look at verse 12. Here's what the Jubilee is. For it is a Jubilee, and it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field year after year after year. And then verse 13, on this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to your own property or your own possession. In other words, the property, your possession, is going to be restored. So you see, this is an example. Now, it's just not property being restored. Look down in verses 39 through 41. It says, and if a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard that he sells himself to you, you should not subject him to a slave service. Verse 40 continues. He shall be with you as a hired man, as if he were a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. And can you anticipate what's about to happen to this man in the year of Jubilee? Well, verse 41. He shall then go out from you, he and his sons with him, and shall go back to his family, so that he may return to the property and the family of his forefathers. So what is Jesus shouting restore for here? What is this a type of? Of total restoration from everything that sin brought on this earth. Do you see the love of the Father in this? Now look at Acts. Let's look at a couple of New Testament scriptures. Acts 10, verse 38. And most of you could quote this. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good. And then here's some of the words we want to focus on here. And healing all who were oppressed by the Father. No, that's not what it says. The one who oppresses is the enemy of your soul, the devil, whose day is at hand. And I like to remind him about that. Can you hear those chains rattling, getting ready for him? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. So it's not just selective. It's available for us all by the devil. And he did this for God was with him, just like he is to you and I. Now, let me tell you what the word oppressed means. In our dictionary, it actually means burdened by the abuse of power and authority. Now, can you see how sickness can result from that type of description? By someone who abuses, who does things that they're not lawfully supposed to do. They overstep their bounds of authority. And that's what the devil is doing today. He has no legal right to you and I. But if he takes food away from someone, that's going to impact, over a period of time, their health. And so we see that is what he has done. He has brought illness and sickness and disease and accidents and things go wrong with our body. But Jesus came to do what? To heal. To make whole. To restore what was taken from us through the oppression of the devil, acting illegally above his legal right to do. Now look at Luke 4, 18 and 19. And we quoted these verses, and when Pastor Trey started this that Thursday way back in 2015, and we began to quote these verses later that year, what did he say? This is talking about Jesus. But who else does it describe? You can say me because you're looking at me, and I can say you. Others that we see, this verse is also describing us. So let's just look through it. And then you're going to see the links to this verse in the scriptures that we've been reading thus far. So what's happened? Jesus has gone into his hometown area. It says they handed him the scroll and he unrolled it. Now I've heard that it just happened to be the time that he was supposed to teach that. That could be. But I believe he found himself in this scripture. I believe he turned until he found these verses. And he begins to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So you see the preaching of the gospel and what comes right with it, the healing. To proclaim liberty, a restoration of what's been taken away from you, of being put into a form of slavery. To proclaim liberty to those that are captive and recovery of sight to the blind. And then finally, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, from a personal standpoint, from about 2011 into 2012, this is the verse that the Lord took me to every morning I got up when I sat down with him and said, where am I to read today? And there were times it got to the point I'd just say, do you want me to go back to it? And I just heard that witness, yes. And then one day I sit down and he says, read 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What year is that? That's Jubilee. That's this time of relief, of restoration. That's not a year, it's what? Jesus. So that's what we're proclaiming here. Jesus and his war cry of declaring, restore, restore. So we can see Jesus not only as our Jubilee, but we need to see him as our restorer. Now, I want you to look, or let me define first for you another word. We talked about recovery of sight, to set at liberty, and I would say those all indicate restore. I want to read to you the definition in Webster's dictionary for restore. To bring back or to put back in a former or original state. Glory to God. There are those of you today looking online, and maybe some of you here, who right now, I believe, are beginning to get that in your heart so deep in you that faith has risen and that restoration is beginning to take place even as we're talking today. You don't need anyone to lay hands on you. This word is so powerful, it will cause it to happen. Let me continue. It also means, simply stated, to return what was previously yours. And I say, if you've had a condition that has come upon you and you've been there for a number of years, this is what can happen to you in this acceptable time of Jesus being your restorer. He can set it back as it was. And if you were born with a condition, you say, well, I was made like this, I'm not being restored. He's restoring you back to design specs, the way Adam was in the garden, the way Eve was in the garden, that full fellowship, full provision, great peace, the body functioning just like he designed it to be. And just because it's been that way for 10 weeks or 10 years or 20 years doesn't mean he's not your restorer. Don't you get your identity off of him. You ought to be the one declaring the loudest. Restore, restore. What is mine legally? A just cause, justice, satisfied by you taking my sin. Therefore, there is no right that the devil has to my body. Sin brought on sickness, and therefore sickness has no domain. It has no right in me. That's the restoration. Now, I want you to look at one other scripture, because there are some people who just say, well, if I could just get rid of this one thing. And I want to stop you and say, if you want to believe for one thing now so that you can go on to the next, I understand that. But don't limit what God can do for you. Look at 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and I'm going to read this also out of the New King James. David and his men had left Gilgal. They've gone, and they were going to fight with the Philistines. And the Philistines said, no, we're not going to let David fight with us. He's our enemy. So they sent him back. And so they're walking back. And as they're walking back, they see their town in ruins, burning. And the Amalekites had come and raided them. And they took everything. Now, I don't mean just the gold and the silver. Everything. The gold, the silver, the animals, and what? The most precious thing we have today, people. All of their family. You know the account. David's men wanted to kill him. They were so upset. And the scripture says David encouraged himself in the Lord. This day, the word restore you declaring it over yourself ought to bring encouragement of the Lord to you. Let it do so. So David encouraged himself with the Lord, and then he sought the Lord. So in verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this truth? In other words, he's not just going. He's saying, Lord, how do I approach this? If I've had something in my body that I've just said, I'm going to stand on this, I'm going to stand on this, and I'm trying to stand on everything instead of having my feet planted on a solid verse. If you've been that way, if you've been resisting and standing for a long time, ask the Lord, as David's doing. There's another time that David had to go after some people, and guess what he did? He asked the Lord, and he told him to do it a different way. He may lead you in different ways as he puts you in a position to declare recover. So he says, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, the Lord, answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. And look at this last phrase, and without fail, recover all. And that's the word I think the Lord wants us to emphasize here. If you've been fighting a number of things, you may want to approach it because that's where your faith is one at a time, but don't you dare let go of they're all yours. Every area of your life. Now we look at the results, verses 18 and 19. So they pursued them, they got some divine intervention, they found out exactly where they were, and look at what it says happened. So David recovered how much? All that the Amalekites had carried away. And David recovered his two wives. Verse 19. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great. A headache, or you can't walk because your knee hurts so bad. All of them have a right to be restored in your body. Either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them, David, the Lord, through David, recovered what? All. And so that just really, to me, puts all this together and lets us see the heart of the Lord in this matter. Now we've looked at these five accounts, scripture accounts, to get a picture of his heart. I want us to begin to wrap this up, and we're going to look at five verses. A couple of Old Testament, one particular one in the New Testament, about restoration. That you have this right. And you know, doesn't restoration just seem like a good term to it? Or can you see how Jesus came saying restore? Because what have we been called to do first and foremost to the world? Have a ministry of reconciliation, of restoring them back to the Father. So all this, when you pack it together, it just, I think, encourages us to step forward. Let's go to Exodus. We're going to look at the fourth chapter. Moses has been called by God to go, and he said, how do I know they're going to believe me? And that's when the Lord said, what's that in your hand? He put the staff down. It turned into a snake. He picked it up. And then he tells him, now put your hand in your bosom. And this morning as I went through these notes and meditated on them before I came here one last time, I actually had a bathrobe on because it was a little cool. And I stuck my hand in that bathrobe as I could envision David doing it. And I pulled it out. And I just looked in my hand as Moses must have looked at his hand when he pulled it out. And it was leprous, white. Now, leprosy was a death sentence. I call leprosy the living dead because everything that mattered to you is taken from you. You're put out by yourself with nothing. All that you hold dear is back in town and you're out. It's that separation. But look at what the Lord was teaching him. And what he was teaching him is, I'm about to take you out of this land of Egypt, which represented what? Sin. And how did they leave? Not one feeble amongst them. Then he said to him, the Lord said to him, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again. And when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was what? restored like the rest of his flesh. Another example of the desire of the Lord to restore. Now I want you to look at 1 Kings 13. In this account, this is an account I talk about mainly about being led of the Spirit. You've got this prophet who goes into this foreign area and he says to the king, who was a wicked king, what you're doing, burning things on the offering that don't belong on the offering of on the altar of God, is wrong. And if you continue this, this altar is going to be cracked. And when he did, it's going to fall apart. When he said that, the king told his men, seize him. And as soon as he told them to seize him, you know what happened? His hand withered up, so he could not use it. And he became very fearful. Now, verse 6. The king says to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God. So let's make this analogy before we read further. This is talking about a king who was acting evil, and he continued to afterwards, versus a born again child of the living God. And if he did this for this king, how much fuller is his heart towards you, his beloved, towards you, those he loves just like Jesus. So the king said, please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be what? Restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. You see the mercy of God even to someone who doesn't merit this maybe? And here you've got Jesus who won this victory and brought justice so that peace could be between heaven and earth again. Okay, let's look at one more. Psalm 23, third verse. Simple part of it. He does what to my soul? He restores it. He puts that peace back in there, in that tenderness that he has, where he won't just crush something. He puts that tenderness, he puts that peace, he puts that calm, he puts that rest all back in your soul. And when that happens, what should arise in us? Confidence should. Trust should. He restores my soul, and then he leads me in the paths of righteousness. So he does all this just because you deserve it. No. He does it for his name's sake. So that people will look at you and say, that's God's people. He takes care of them. Look at how much peace they're in. Look at what's going on around us. And yet how much peace they are in today. Let's look in the New Testament, Matthew 8. And we'll be reading from New King James here. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. 23. So he took the blind man by his hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and had put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now stop there before you go on. That says to me, this man used to see and now he doesn't. Because he knew what a man looked like and he knew what a tree looked like. But he wasn't seeing them very clearly. Then he put his hands on him again and made him look up. And he was what? Restored and saw everyone clearly. Restoration, bringing back to mint condition. Do you know that when a car, antique cars today are restored, that they sell for many, many, many times more money? They are worth more today in this restored condition than they were before. And so if you had something that has happened that you feel like it's made you of no good, of no use, and that you're not worth anything, man, God's fixing to make you worth more than you ever dreamed you could be, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. The last one, Joel 2:25. And some of us, some of you online, you here, need to make this your life verse. Because you're thinking, yeah, but I've been putting up with this for 30 years or 20 years or whatever it is. And that's just who I am. No. Change that view of yourself. Because not only does the Lord want to restore your physical being to the way He designed it to be, He is willing to restore to you the years that has been lost while you were in that condition. I was with someone this week who was married late in life. And they said, all that I had hoped that a marriage could be through all these years where I wasn't, I have experienced it all in these 2 or 3 years. In other words, what? He didn't just restore the healing. He restored everything about the joy of life having no husband had taken away. And He will do the same for you and I today. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust. And we'll quit reading there. He will restore all. So, I want us to say again, and we'll say it a little bit differently, what we declared earlier. So if you would, just repeat with me. 2021 is my year. It is mine. It is my year of restoration. 2021 is my year of restoration. Now, before we go further, I want to declare something else, but I want to remind you. These are words are coming out of your mouth. And you're saying, yeah, but Jesus was the one who declared restore. What have many of us who've taught up here shared with you that Reinhard Bonnke heard from the Lord? How the words of the Lord in your mouth are just as powerful as those words being spoken by the Lord. Saints, we do not appreciate the authority that we have in this earth. But I'm also going to tell you, and I believe I'm saying this prophetically, understanding your authority in the days that lie ahead for us is one of the number one things you need to do. You need to see who you are in your authority in Christ Jesus. So, as we say this last one, I want to say it again. 2021 is my year of restoration. I declare, as Jesus did, restore, restore, restore. Now, I trust that those of you online who are viewing this now are doing the same declarations with us. If you're not, back up that little cursor so that you can go through these and say these with us. Because you and your mouth hold the key. We prayed earlier that what? We would open our hearts wide. So my belief is that this has been planted deep in you. And as it has been planted deep, out of the abundance of what has been planted deep, you can bring forth a harvest with your words. So I'm just going to declare over you one more time. This is the year of your restoration. All that the devil has stored. I don't care what it is. Relationships, mental disorders, diseases, eyeglasses being able to be removed and taken off. And let me just tell you, I have been professing this now for a while. And my family will attest, I've gotten to a point where my latest prescriptions, from a distance, I can see better without them. And if I really concentrate, I can read the words on my Bible again that I haven't been able to read in years. And there's coming a day where I'm going to stand up here and teach to you, and I can see because He has restored my sight. If He restored the sight of that man who saw trees looking like men, then He's going to do the same for you and for me. So bless you. Thank you for joining us today. I trust this has ministered to you. And we will lay hands on any of you who are here if you would like. But don't let this be a one-time thing. Don't let today be the only time that you say 2021 is my year of restoration. And you say, just like Jesus did, restore, restore, restore. And He is faithful to perform His words that He's watching over. He's looking for those words of restore so He can act. And I believe we're going to see great testimonies from today's, from the word that the Lord has taught us. Bless you, and we'll see you again at Healing School 1 week from today.